This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry.
You got to remember, this is Montana. People have an independent cowboy-type attitude.
Last week, I took a trip to a state that doesn't get a lot of national press and probably doesn't want much, but it still has a lot of stories that connect it with the country. Montana is one of the states that expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act back in late 2015. Now, over 77,000 low-income people have access to health care that they didn't have before, and more than 11,000 of those are Native Americans. In a state with a tiny population, those numbers are huge. But now, those Montanans are dealing with an unknown just like in other states. What happens if debates in Washington over repealing the Affordable Care Act mean that these new health care benefits go away?
I think the most important thing is the health disparities that are found among American Indians in Montana when you compare us to white Montanans.
And that is
Anna Whiting Sorrell. I'm the Director of Operations for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribal Health Department.
I met Anna in St. Ignatius on the Flathead Indian Reservation in northwest Montana.
So here is when you walk into the center, the facility. So this is where healthcare actually, we're trying to get healthcare.
Before she worked for the tribe, Whiting Sorrell was the head of the Montana Department of Health and Human Services, and she was the first Native American person to ever hold that job. Now she's helping lead the team on the Flathead Reservation, who are doing something revolutionary in Montana. The tribe has opted completely out of the Indian Health Service. Whiting Sorrell calls it a broken system, antiquated and underfunded. And in its place, they've set up a self-contained and self-owned health network. It has a comprehensive clinic in St. Ignatius and six other satellite clinics around the reservation. And that move away from the Indian Health Service means many tribal members use Medicaid. Whiting Sorrell estimates 1,000 adult tribal members have gotten new coverage under the Medicaid expansion, and she hopes the new clinics and the new benefits will help address the large health disparities between Natives and white Montanans.
So I, as an Indian woman, can expect to die at 64, whereas a non-Native woman, it's 84. So what that means is it's a generation younger. We die for different reasons, higher rates of diabetes, of cancer, of heart disease, accidents, just all of those issues.
How important has the expansion that's recently come to Montana under the ACA been to these people who come through your doors?
It's absolutely essential on two different levels. Montana's always had a comprehensive array of services under the Medicaid program, but it had a very limited eligibility. When it was able to be expanded to adults, that allowed there to be health care delivered to, here in our community, 1,000 adults are now covered. 1,000 in Lake County have now gained access to health care that didn't have it. In addition to actually being able to get health care in our facility here, if you come here and you get your service here and you're Medicaid eligible, we can bill the state. And then that money that we get when we bill can be reinvested back into providing more services.
The unavoidable next question is, what happens here if expansion goes away?
You know, I'm pretty firm in my belief that we are going to fight to keep our health care. But if for some reason those 1,000 people end up losing their health care, they will get sick.
The expansion really allowed more families to qualify for services that they weren't able to before the expansion came.
That is Durand Bear Medicine.
And I am the clinical coordinator here for the Southern Pagan School Health and Wellness Program.
Durand is part of the Blackfeet Nation. Tribal members use the Indian Health Service, but the tribe wanted alternatives. Durand is helping run a program that provides health services through schools, and that program relies heavily on Medicaid.
In trying to deal with our Indian Health Service and what they're up against, a lot of times people have a hard time getting into their services and their unit, which is really no fault of theirs, but I know this how the system works funding-wise. There's a lot of limitations and barriers there. And so people get frustrated with that. And then they hate to sit up there for hours waiting to get help in the ER, for sometimes up to 6 to 10 hours they may wait, sometimes longer, or have to wake up every morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock to get up to dental, to wait for an appointment, or to get in to see a provider. And so it was our goal here with this community-based, school-based clinic to make it more accessible and affordable, but try to help alleviate some of that weight that IHS has been carrying for years.
So school-based healthcare, does that mean school-based just for kids, or does that mean putting a clinic in a school that their parents can come to as well and other members of the community can come, but you're placing it where the school is? Walk me through that a little bit.
The idea for this clinic is we wanted to come in and we wanted to make it accessible for the kids, primarily K through 12, but we started to deliver services to kids at the Head Start level, and even some babies that we've seen this year.
Whether in Indian country or outside of it, nearly everyone I talked to in Montana said the expanded access that comes with Medicaid has meant more preventative care. They say that's a key factor in keeping low-income people out of the hospital and out of debt.
You got to remember, this is Montana.
Meet Louis King. He's president and CEO of Benefis Teton Medical Center in the tiny town of Shodo, Montana, population 1,700.
People have an independent, cowboy-type attitude. And that attitude wants to take care of yourself, and they don't want to incur debt. So a lot of times what they would do is they would wait and see if their health improved, which if it didn't, 9 times out of 10, they're going to end up in the ER, which is the costliest option.
King told me that small rural hospitals need Medicaid dollars to stay open. But he also points out that these small clinics are a major source of jobs for rural towns.
A critical access hospital is a very special type hospital. We don't do procedures. We don't do operations. We don't even do OB now. What we mainly do is have long-term care for residents of the town and an emergency room along with PT, OT, and a lab. Now, you have to understand, not only from a healthcare perspective are we important to the community, but we're also very important to the community from an economic perspective, because there's 50 critical access hospitals in the state of Montana, and they are the backbone of the economic engines that keep these towns solvent.
Money and economics hit home at the administrative level, but they do for patients, too.
My name is Holly Block, and I live in Kalispell, Montana, and I'm a caregiver.
Holly Block has serious health issues, but she only works part-time because she spends most of her time caring for her elderly mother. She got coverage when Montana expanded Medicaid, and she says it's helping keep her from financial ruin. But Block also says that for her, not having Medicaid could be a question of life or death.
About 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with a lung disorder called sarcoidosis. A few months after that, I was diagnosed with kidney failure, which has progressed to stage 5. And because of the autoimmune lung disorder and the kidney failure, it makes it very difficult to do any kind of full-time work, any kind of work at all. And in March, I had to have a blood transfusion because of it.
And you're close to the point where you're going to be able to have a kidney transplant now, right?
Correct.
What does a kidney transplant mean to you, to your well-being? How important is that?
It's my life. I mean, without it, it's like life and death for me. It's like Russian roulette. Without it, there's a 50-50 chance that I might make it and I might not. And with it, you know, it's a future of being able to have a somewhat normal life.
Back in January, mm-hmm. when you got on Medicaid, were you ineligible for it before? Did you not qualify before and now you qualify? How did that work?
Well, before here, to have Medicaid, you either had to be pregnant or have kids under a certain age. Well, I was neither or, so I didn't qualify for it. And now I do because of the new healthcare expansion. The fact that I have health insurance to be able to go to my specialty doctors when before I didn't. I have health insurance to cover me when I need to go in and have these shots to boost up my red blood count cells that I wouldn't have had coverage for before. I mean, it's been a lifesaver for me, and it's been a lifesaver for many people here.
Congress is in the middle of a debate over how to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Many governors are asking Republican leaders in Washington to think twice before repealing the parts of the law that pay for states like Montana to expand Medicaid. It's got a lot of Montanans and the people who care for them watching and wondering about their future. This is The Takeaway.